Today, we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, but the resurrection kind of follows a death, obviously, and so... It says, no man can by any means redeem his brother or give to God a ransom for him that he should live on eternally, that he should not undergo decay. For the redemption of his soul is costly, and he should cease trying forever. So this passage tells us that we cannot redeem or buy back our brother because the redemption that he and we need is too costly. Why do we need redemption? Well, we were God's in the beginning because he created us, but we went our own way and became slaves of sin. So we need to be redeemed or bought back in order to have the relationship with God that he intended at the beginning when he created us. And we cannot redeem ourselves or anyone else because the price is something we can't pay. And I want to us to consider the cost of our redemption and our salvation just for a little bit here while we look at a few passages. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 7 and the first part of verse 8. Ephesians 1, 7, and the first half of 8 says, in him, which is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us. So here we see that the cost of redeeming our souls, redeeming us to God, was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And over in Hebrews chapter 9, we read a little bit more about that. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 to 14. Hebrews 9, 11 to 14 says, but when Christ appeared as a high priest of the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation, and not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who had been defiled sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. So the sacrifices that the Jews did during the Old Testament period were a temporary cleansing of the flesh, a temporary covering of sin, and they looked forward to the perfect sacrifice. And the cost of our redemption, the cost of our salvation, was a high cost, something priceless. It was the blood, the life and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he was the only one that could pay that price for redemption because he was sinless. In verse 14 there, we see that he offered himself without blemish to God. The sacrifice needed to be perfect and sinless. And he also needed to be both God and man. The only way to satisfy God's righteousness was to have the perfect sacrifice and a sinless sacrifice. and someone who could represent us to God. And so the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is both God and man. He took on human flesh so that he could go to the cross and die for us and give his life for us. And I want to look at some excerpts from the passages in the Gospels that speak of, that give the account of the Lord's death. First, we'll read in Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, verses 39 through 46. And this is when the Lord and his disciples were in the Garden of Gethsemane. Luke 22, 39 to 46. And he came out and proceeded, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples also followed him. When he arrived at the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he withdrew from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, "Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done." Now an angel from heaven appeared to him, strengthening him. And being in agony, he was praying fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. When he rose from prayer, he came to the disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow, and said to them, "Why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not enter into temptation." We see here the agony that the Lord experienced as he anticipated the cross and taking the sins of the world on his shoulders to pay the price that our sins deserved. Over in Matthew 27, we'll read verses 20 through 54, Matthew 27, verses 20 through 54. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and to put Jesus to death. But the governor said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release for you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to them, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ?" They all said, "Crucify him." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they kept shouting all the more, saying, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing, but rather that a riot was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to that yourselves." And all the people said, "His blood shall be on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas for them. But after having Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole Roman cohort around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. And after twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they knelt down before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." They spat on him and took the reed and began to beat him on the head. After they had mocked him, they took the scarlet robe off him and put his own garments back on him and led him away to crucify him. As they were coming out, they found a man of Cyrene named Simon, whom they pressed into service to bear his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they gave him wine to drink mixed with gall, and after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink. And when they had crucified him, they divided up his garments among themselves by casting lots. And sitting down, they began to keep watch over him there. And above his head, they put up the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." At that time, two robbers were crucified with him, one on the right and one on the left. And those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him and saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel, let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe in him." He trusts in God, let God rescue him now if he delights in him, for he said, I am the Son of God. The robbers who had been crucified with him were also insulting him with the same words. Now from the sixth hour, darkness fell upon all the land until the ninth hour. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is, my God, why have you forsaken me? And some of those who were standing there, when they heard it, began saying, this man is calling for Elijah. Immediately one of them ran, and taking a sponge, he filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave him a drink. But the rest of them said, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him. But Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook and the rocks were split. The tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now the centurion with those and those who were with him, keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that were happening, became very frightened and said, truly, this was the Son of God. Those of us who have put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation can rejoice in the love that he has for us and the grace and mercy that God showed in providing this salvation for us, in paying this costly price for our redemption. And if anyone hasn't put their trust in the Lord for that, I would encourage you to do that, to accept the free gift of salvation that he offers each of us. He paid the price that we cannot pay. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your amazing grace and your wonderful mercy that you have for us. And we thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, for your willingness to go to the cross on our behalf and to pay the priceless value that we could not pay to redeem ourselves or to redeem anyone else. We thank you for your precious blood that you shed on our behalf. And we thank you for the redemption that we have and for the salvation that you have given us. And we give thanks in your precious name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Andrew. Number 169 in the red hymnal says, he died. He died, the lowly man of sorrows, on whom were laid our many griefs and woes. Our sins he bore beneath God's awful billows, and he hath triumphed over all our foes. He bore quote from the book of Revelation, first chapter, verse 18. The Lord himself, the Lord Jesus Christ, is quoted as saying that. Verse 2. He lives, he lives. What glorious consolation. Exalted at his Father's own right hand. He pleads for us. And by his intercession enables all his saints by grace to stand. I am he that liveth and was dead. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, caught up to be forever with the Lord. I am he that liveth and was dead. I am he that liveth and was dead. Very good singing, thank you. I'd like you to turn back to number 42, near the beginning. Number 42, rejoice and be glad. The Redeemer has come. This is thought of as a Christmas song mostly, but it covers the whole thing, where we rejoice because he came, because he died, and because he rose. Number 42.
Rejoice and be glad, the Redeemer has come. Sound his praises out with gladness, he liveth again. Rejoice and be glad. with gladness he liveth again. Rejoice and be glad, for he cometh again. He cometh in glory, the Lamb that was slain.
Fill with praises, tell the story of
him who was slain. Sound his praises, help with gladness, he liveth again.
He liveth again, he lives again. Our Jesus Christ rose from the dead and he lives. Before we ask Mark to come and share with us briefly, I'd like to sing one more hymn, number 173. 173, The Lord is Risen. And death's dark judgment flood is past in him who bought us with his blood. Let's stand to sing this one. The Lord is risen. Amen.
Amen.
He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Isn't that so true? So true. We're going to start off our text this morning in 1 Peter. And it's going to be 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. So if you want to open up your perfect law of liberty and follow along, It goes something like this. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiable, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power is guarded through faith, a salvation ready to be revealed in the last name. Peter the Apostle understood and wanted to clearly communicate to the elect, the called out ones, the chosen ones, in Pontus, in Galatia, in Cappadocia, in Asia. He wanted those that were born again to understand there is something in Christ Jesus that no one else has. It's a living hope. A living hope that is only found in the power of the resurrection. What is this living hope? Undefiled, unperishable, unfading. It is an inheritance to you and I. This living hope is the eternal life for the believers. One, it comes from God. Psalms 43:5 says, "My hope in God, for I shall praise him again. My salvation is God, is in God." Tozer once said, "The only thing that I can bring to my salvation is the sin that's necessary for it." It's a gift of grace, stated in 2 Thessalonians 2:15 and 16. "Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort, he gave us hope through grace." May that comfort your hearts. I don't know how many times you guys will go to the news, and for some reason, when I go to the news, I don't get comforted. Because there's nothing comforting on today's news. But when I look into the law of liberty and I see the hope in Christ, folks, that's enough comfort in itself right there.
Amen.
It's decided by Scripture in Romans 15:4. It says that this living hope, through encouragement of Scriptures, we might once again have hope. And then I would like for us to turn to John 11:25, because I want to look at a conversation between Jesus and Martha. But part of this living hope is secured power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So if you have your Bibles, flip with me just really briefly to John 11:25, and we're not going to look at the whole passage of that, but we're going to look at a conversation here. Okay. All right, just to get the backdrop of John chapter 11, it's a passage that you're all familiar with. It's a passage that you know. It's when Jesus himself raised Lazarus from the dead, and at a point, Martha was a little put off at Jesus because she waited so long for him to come and heal Jesus. And Jesus took his time and he waited to come and see. And the most beautiful thing happened. Jesus breathed life into Lazarus. And Lazarus came forth. But I want to pinpoint a conversation between Martha and Jesus. And I want you guys to get this. In John 11:23-26, look at this. Right here. Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again," Martha said to him. I know that he will rise again. He'll rise in resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. And whoever believes in me, though he die, yet he shall live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." And then he asks Martha. He says, "Martha, do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who's coming in the world." Why do you think Jesus asked Martha if she believed that? In this John 11:25, it is the fifth series of the seven series of the I am statements of who Jesus says he is. Jesus says, "I am the great I am." And in this statement,
And in this conversation, Jesus moved Martha's train of thinking that the resurrection will take place in the last day to a personalized trust in him alone, that he can raise the dead. No resurrection or living hope exists outside the Son of God. Let me repeat that one more time. In this statement, Jesus moves Martha from an abstract belief in the resurrection that will only take place on the last day to a personalized trust in him, who alone can raise from the dead. No resurrection or living hope exists outside the Son of God. Jesus is the one who has the power of resurrection and for life, and he can give it at any time. Martha thought it was going to be in the last days. Jesus proved her wrong. It took place today, or that day. I'm going to close here, but I want you to think about something. But I want us to go to Colossians chapter 3. This will be our last. And go to Colossians chapter 3. And I want us to look at this because we are going to close with this. But follow along with me from Colossians 3:1-4. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. You know, to this passage, to me, it's more than just horizontal relationship with one another. It's a vertical relationship with God. That is far the most important. And so Paul continues and he says, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand. And then he says what? This is a verb statement. This is an action statement that he puts into this text. He says, set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are here in earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ. When Christ, who is in your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put, another action word, another verb. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly. And I'll tell you something. Anytime you see the word therefore in Scripture, you need to see what it's there for. Because it's a conjunction putting two thoughts together. He's saying, take this action, put, and secure it. And what it says, put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you. He's saying, have a mind of Christ. Put away everything that this world has to offer. And I'm going to tell you why he says that. Because in this passage, the key word in this passage is found in the very first word in chapter 3. It's the word if. And that word if in the Greek is better translated to the word since. And perhaps some of your translations does not have the word if, it will have the word since. But anyway, with that, since you have been raised, this verb in the Greek means actually co-resurrected with, because it is our union with Christ. Did you get that? And so Paul is saying in this passage, he's saying what? First of all, I want you folks to set or put your mind on Christ's resurrection. Second of all, set your mind and the hope and the living Jesus. I can't do anything apart from the Christ Jesus. Like right now, we all shared something in common. We just took a breath. But can I say that you didn't take that breath on your own accord? That breath was a gift and it was given to you. Now, what Paul is saying is use that breath wisely and use every living last breath to set your mind on Christ's resurrection. Set your mind on the living hope of who Jesus is. Today we come together and we celebrate the resurrected Jesus Christ, who with him there is no death, there is no sting. Folks, this is all going to pass away. This isn't. And I love the words of Tozer. When Tozer says, what comes into your minds when you think about what Christ has done is really the most important thing about us. I love that. Because every day we should be so consumed when it goes back to the Book of Lamentations and it says, the Lord's mercy is new every day. Are you reveling in the mercies of the Lord?
Are you understanding the power of the resurrection of the living King who conquered death? And he gives that to you, and you are a co-resurrected person. Folks, this is beautiful. Because all this is going to pass away, and none of this is really going to matter. But our hope in who Christ is and our hope in what Christ has done is all that matters. So today, when you gather with your family and you have those big, beautiful feasts that you can only wait for, right? Remember what today is all about. Thank you.
Thank you, Mark. What a joy to be able to focus on our risen Lord. Let's turn next in our hymnal to number 174. And you know, this isn't a hymn I think we can sing sitting down. Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou o'er death hast won. Angels in bright raiment rolled away the stone, kept the folded grave clothes where thy body lay. Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou o'er death hast won. So let's sing this one standing up, triumphant hymn, number 174.
Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou o'er death hast won. Angels in bright raiment rolled the stone away, kept the folded grave clothes where thy body lay. Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou o'er death won. Lord Jesus meets us, risen from the tomb. Lovingly he greets us, scatters fear and gloom. Let the church with gladness hymns of triumph sing, for her Lord now liveth, death has lost its sting. Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Lord. Endless is the victory thou o'er death hast won. No more we doubt thee, glorious Prince of life. Life is not without thee, aid us in our strife. Make us more than conquerors through thy deathless love. Bring us safe through Jordan to thy home above. Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son. Endless is the victory thou o'er death hast won.
Thank you. You may be seated. We'll sing one more hymn, and then Hilbert's have something else for us. So number 175, right next to it here. Christ the Lord is risen today. Sing ye heavens and earth reply, he endured the cross, the grave. Sinners to redeem and save, sinners to redeem and save. Christ the Lord is risen today. Sing ye heavens and earth reply. He endured the cross, the grave. Sinners to redeem and save. Sinners to redeem and save. Love's redeeming work is done. Welcome you all, and welcome you to the food that there is downstairs, too, after the meeting. So let's just pray quick, and then we'll give Joe the front. Father, we praise you that our Lord is risen. Your Son gave his life, but he rose again to intercede for us, and that someday he will rule in justice and might and truth. So, Father, we thank you for this time we've had to remember the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and to praise you, to praise him. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Joe?
Good voice in the microphone here. Just another song that kind of goes through the whole story of Jesus' birth, humble birth, and then his glorious resurrection. That's the paper that we had handed out earlier. If you'd like to sing along or just read or. King of Kings.
Been you.
Thank you. Praise forever to the King of Kings. Just a short prayer, and then we can all go downstairs and enjoy some food and some company and praise the Lord together. Father, thank you that you did raise your Son to glory. Thank you, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that you have indwelt us with your Holy Spirit and given us your Son to intercede for us and to worship you. And we thank you. Thank you for the time we can have together. Thank you for the food you've provided. In Jesus' name, amen.